Hey everyone, welcome back to Rally Caps. It's a podcast for artists, entrepreneurs, and everybody in between. I'm Steven.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Gene.
And we just got the order right
in our new set,
which is so cool.
Because normally it's a line.
Normally
it's a line. Now we're zigzagging.
Yeah. And why are we zigzagging, Eric?
Because we have a table now.
Look at the table.
And we can see each other. I mean, I can see you guys.
Yeah.
My neck's not going to hurt this episode.
The bing bong.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you're always looking to the left.
Yeah,
you're always looking to the right. And I'm always breaking my neck back and forth.
Ping ponging.
Yeah. I whip my head.
It's so great to just barely move my head and see both of you.
Yeah, it's really nice. I don't know.
It's almost like how conversations should be.
It's almost like this is how, I don't know, most other really successful podcasts structure their sets. I don't know. Can they see it in the angles here?
They can see it on the GoPro.
They can see it in the GoPro right here. We have a table now, which is really exciting.
I'll step away from the mic so I get an iPhone shot wide.
Yes, amazing. We're going to get that and maybe flash that on the screen so everyone can see exactly what this looks like while we're recording. Basically, the reason why we did this is to make the show a little more conversational.
Yeah.
To feel a little more intimate rather than always talking out and away from each other. Another big reason we're actually able to do this now is because we've switched, as some of you longtime listeners of the show, viewers of the show might know, we no longer do one wide angle. We do multicam,
yeah,
which is really why this works, is because we're able to have people on two different sides of a table and have two different angles to cut back and forth between and not rely on just like one wide shot with all three of us in it.
Yeah.
And it just feels so much better. We're like 5 minutes into this.
It
feels so much better.
We haven't gotten video on Spotify yet, have we?
We have not done that consistently yet, no.
But it's been there one time, two times.
One time. We have to upload it separately after the episode has been published.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see it, go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube. That's where we are right now.
And it does feel like there is steam picking up on the Rally Caps YouTube channel.
There has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which
has been nice.
Yeah. It almost feels like YouTube's finally starting to recognize like, hey, this is a podcast channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening every week.
Mm-hmm.
I think I assume people are tuning in to listen on YouTube regularly now.
Yeah. I mean, according to analytics, that's definitely the case, which is nice.
Feels like every episode's been a top three or top four performer recently.
Mm-hmm. We've had guests too recently, which helps as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen any of the recent episodes, definitely go see that, like Nolis.
Yep.
And
Nolis.
Mr. Sam Elkins, we interviewed recently.
That's right.
You interviewed me about my running. We're going to interview you about your design pretty soon here.
Yep. Last week's episode was Gene. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We had our good friend, Jesse David Green from Handcar.
Yep.
A lot of really good stuff.
So much.
A lot of great plans on the horizon.
Uh-huh.
And this table has been one of those plans for a good while. Which also, while we are talking about it, quick shout out to the man behind the camera. I can see him right
now.
Can
you just show your face
Chad,
for once?
Chad, can you come just one of the shots over
go
here?
Sit in my, just sit in my stool.
Chad Meeks, right here, is our producer for the show, and he was the one who spearheaded this entire project of switching things over and getting this in motion. We've been talking about it for months, and this past week, Chad was like, you know what, guys? We're done waiting. We're just going to do it, and it looks and feels amazing. It's so much better to just talk like this.
Look at that camera. You've got 10 seconds. You can say whatever you want to say. This is your moment right here.
Yeah, go for it.
I love these guys.
I've been waiting for this exact moment where Chad's like,
why?
Actually in front of the camera for an extended period of time.
Well, I'm here.
Any closing remarks?
I love helping on the show. It's great.
Good job. Good job.
Okay, bye.
But thank you. Good job.
Bye. Well, this feels very different and it's very cool.
Yes.
So if you've been a longtime listener for Rally Caps, this is the new evolution and we are very excited.
Yes. It's only going to continue to get better from here. As we speak, actually, I got a notification from Amazon saying that our new acoustic paneling just arrived. It's downstairs right now. We also did a little bit of troubleshooting. Eric, do you want to explain people might not be able to actually see what this is, but we had to deal with some kind of acoustic difficulties, some tapping on the table now that we have these mic stands that are on the table. How did we combat that?
Well, I'm glad we had kind of a test trial yesterday. I did a podcast with a friend, Matt Fox, yesterday, and we just used our little like foam insulation sound panel thingies to just underneath, but the stands were like,
yeah.
So you had the, who, Chad, did you think
also
this?
Also Chad.
Jeez. This is all Chad.
These perfectly circular cork things for the mics, if you're seeing this.
These are like dinner trivets. So they're meant for pots and pans and dishes and stuff like that. It was a 4-pack on Amazon, and they are the perfect size for the bases of our mic stands.
With some like foam pads on the bottom as well.
Mm-hmm. A little felt.
Because if like the metal was just on the butcher block table, every time we made noise, it was super loud.
Yep.
So yeah, like any kind of set, you're just going through trial and error. What I got really stoked on today, I was like, can I please sort of GP this with Alec?
Right.
And
shout out Alec as well. He didn't stick around.
But we, so we restructured the ceiling to have the sound blankets be more organized. And there's two sound, like homemade sound panels in the back. Everything's clamped with vice clamps.
They're the 99-cent HDX clamps from Home Depot. They're those, the giant bins.
Having a million of those is amazing.
Those are the best filmmaking tools ever. They're,
Chad's
they're
right incredible. If you're watching. If you look at my angle here.
99 cents, there's always buckets of them on every corner of Home Depot.
So we have like a little string on the side of the wall over here where we clamp just like 20 of them. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect for scenarios like this with the light behind me because we just have the mini light dome aperture gridded. Mm-hmm. And it's, maybe you guys won't like this. I took a photo of it. You want to see it?
Mm, oh boy. is it just resting up there?
No. Oh, no. I made it more safe than that.
No, Alec's still back there holding it right now.
It's not too bad.
Alec is back there holding it.
It is.
It's sandbagged.
It's sandbagged.
Okay.
And
actually pretty good.
This clamp is actually clamping the metal bracket to the wood right there.
Oh, okay.
And then we have a sheet of diffusion over the top so it doesn't spill up and it actually reflects down.
That's nice.
And then those two are clamped to both the light dome and the set or this sound panel, the eye ring.
Really good,
there.
Actually. I like that.
So yeah, I feel like I could stay like that for a while if I wanted it to.
Yeah, probably pretty sick, not, actually. Yeah.
I'd be like, does it actually need to go on shitty rigs? I don't know. Maybe.
It could. it definitely would get reposted.
We can share that on the screen as well, maybe. Yes.
Yeah.
But we have that one in the back. And the intention here is now it's like one of those put your money where your mouth is because we saw Carlo and what he was doing with his podcast. And we're like, this looks so good. And it looks so good because it's backlit. Dang it. So now we have our backlight. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we kicked up the dome over here.
Lantern.
Aperture lantern.
The lantern. And it's daylight. It's not a 300X, so it's not...
Yeah, it looks daylight.
Yeah, bicolor. But it gives a nice fill as well as this little globe lamp in the front.
For which Patrick Tommaso.
Alec flagged with a hat.
With my freaking hat. It's so funny.
But it just looks like set design. Sort of. It's like a vibe, you know.
It's very fun.
We got the GoPro in the corner.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, this little shot. I don't know if that's in the A shot over there, it's really fun. Yeah. and so, okay, amazing. All this looks beautiful, functionally so much better. Mm-hmm. And the heart behind it is to actually make the conversations better also, so that this feels more conversational, feels more intimate, feels more personal. Amazing. The next step that we haven't tackled yet, but we're hoping to tackle, is live switching the show.
Yeah.
Which will be cool. That will take probably some trial and error.
Yeah.
But again, shout out to Chad being willing to do that for the shows. Right now we are using a AI editor called Autopod to help expedite the process of editing each show that really just knows... cameras angles that are assigned to names and faces and cuts back and forth for the duration of the episode.
It's pretty wild to watch it cut.
It's really incredible. Cool. It's a super helpful piece of software, but we also were kind of thinking it could be more fun potentially to live switch it because we're looking to hopefully purchase cameras that are rally caps specific, dedicated to the show, leave them up here all the time, always fed into a board, your Blackmagic Ada Mini, feed those HDMI signals in, record the episode in real time with all the camera cuts, and just have a finished episode of Rally Caps at the very end.
Yeah.
Kind of dream scenario, and we wouldn't have to pay a monthly subscription to Autopod anymore, which would also be really nice.
And so, it has that live component where there could be mistakes and stuff that are funny.
Yeah, which I think could be really fun. And beyond that too, adding laptops in, because we can now. We have a table to put laptops, iPads. We could direct HDMI feeds into there and cut to those angles too if we want to show stuff on screen, use more visual assets for the YouTube episodes. Could be really fun. That's still very much a down the road thing in the next couple months as we kind of figure all of that out. But for the time being, we are very thrilled with how this is looking and feeling. Mm. It's very exciting.
Gene, what do you have to say about that?
Am I not trusted with the headphones anymore? Is that why I can't sit there next to the Rodecaster?
Well,
you have full control over sound effects now, Steven.
I do.
That's actually, that's probably a good thing.
Oh, it's definitely a good thing that I have control over it now.
Well, it's also like I don't deal with the post, so my bad. That's sorry, Chad. Sorry, Steve.
At least you do something that makes Chad smile every time he edits the show.
I mean, it's.
But to wrangle in community here too, as far as the live switching goes, we are under the impression that the Pocket 6Ks are going to be the best camera for live switching with the Ada Mini. Mm-hmm. So if you have any insight on that or any tutorials, please leave them down in the comments. Yes. We saw this with our buddy Colin, his friend up in Toronto. Basically had that set up in his podcast studio.
That's right.
They rent that studio out for podcasts. Yep. So it's just a set for podcasts to come in and record.
Yep.
But he live switches the whole episode based on who's talking. He just pays attention the whole time. And then the same thing, he just on a hard drive delivers the episode to the client right there. It's already edited everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, to bake in a look and like everything, it's all done right away.
Yep. And from the brief bit of knowledge that we were given by Braxton, and I think Bean contributed a little bit too, because they're both much more familiar with Blackmagic than we are. They were saying that with Blackmagic cameras specifically, you had the ability to record internally.
Yes.
And also feed it to the board so that we would have redundancy in case we needed to like throw it into Autopod real quick or, you know, whatever. But live switching is going to be the primary focus, trying to just get like a finished episode when we're done recording.
Right. Because if you accidentally on the wrong screen and you live switched it to like the wrong person for too long.
Yeah. And didn't realize it or, you know, all those little things. I guess the only component in post would be syncing this audio. Although I wonder if you could even feed this board into the ADEM.
Have to
probably.
I'm sure you could.
Absolutely. But then I don't know if you'd be able to record it separately, but does that matter? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Because it's just one continuous file.
Probably not.
That'd be nice though to have fixed cameras so that even those never move anymore because these are Eric's cameras. Mm-hmm. And so we're always positioning them every single episode.
Yeah.
So that's just like one less thing to think about. But it'll be nice to have consistency across the board as far as like visually and also like on that end visually.
Yep.
And then really just focus on content and what's being said.
Yeah, the Canon C70s are beautiful.
Amazing. Like
amazing cameras.
Yeah,
it
amazing.
Would be awesome if they were just the Rallycap's dedicated cameras. We just can't afford to do something
like
that.
No, no, no. It makes no sense financially.
Yeah. And then also too, just the component of, you know, not switching resolution, frame rates, things like that.
Running into issues,
make your life more difficult when you get your camera and try to film something real quick. You're like, oh, this is in the Rallycap's settings versus my filmmaking settings.
Yeah.
Just streamlining everything so that Rallycap's things are Rallycap's things.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Mm-hmm. And this, guys, it feels so good.
This is awesome. This is a lot of fun.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not, like we can keep notes and drinks. And
that's what
like
I'm excited about,
things.
To like bring a laptop up here and be like, oh, let's cross-reference that.
Beep, boop, boop, yes. Boop. Like da-da-da-da. This is just, oh, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Uh-huh.
Someday,
it could be a GoPro. I want a camera on Chad's station though. So if he is switching on the...
Live switch chatting.
Yeah, and like, but a camera's on him.
We could give him the train guy 360 camera.
Yes.
So the Chad cam is the
That'd
fish
be
face.
Amazing. And at least a couple times an episode, he can switch to that angle.
Yes. He's just laughing. He's like, it's just like the 360 face.
Oh my goodness.
It'd be so wholesome.
But
he loves it.
Matt yesterday was saying, you know, it feels like podcasting is moving in the direction of you need to have a video component now, like to find more success in the platform. And I do feel like our approach to targeting YouTube more now, like we said from the beginning of this year, though, like it is a search engine that if you put more intentionality into it, because we've been more intentional with thumbnails there this year, collaborative on those, trying to get more of a click-through rate, kind of just more strategic approach in doing that. And like by no means we're doing like huge podcast numbers there, but seeing the steady growth of it. Mm-hmm. Becoming monetized again soon because we lost that in our
hopefully
our vacancy.
Yeah. Hey, that's another thing. If you want to drop comments below, if anyone knows how to get in touch with people at Google, please hit us up. What was the name of the thing that they sent us a notice? It was something that was totally outside of our control, and it was something like unusual traffic on the channel that they flagged as like suspicious activity because they thought we were paying bots to watch our channel.
Oh, because it was dead for a while and then came back to life?
I have no this happened a year and a half ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
They have a name for it. I can't remember what it is right now, but
wait, so if we get to 4,000 watch hours, it's not gonna be monetized?
I don't think so.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Which is a huge bummer. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a bummer. Yeah.
So if anyone sent out $5 a month,
if anyone can help us get in touch with someone who knows someone that could just get, we're not trying to do anything malicious here. I don't know what they flagged in the first place. Huge bummer that that happened. So maybe we open the Patreon back up or something. I don't know.
I feel like now we're consistent every single week.
Very consistent.
Yeah. Every week.
Every single week. All year so far.
All year.
100th episode on the horizon.
Through the fourth quarter.
Yep. I think.
Tom Brady up in here. I meant first quarter.
Sports.
I
don't know what it means. Fourth quarter works
we'll
too.
We will be Tom Brady by the end of the year. Tom Brady of podcast. You heard it here first, folks.
Yep. The Tom Brady of podcasting.
He's divorced now.
So. Whoa, Gene.
Whoa.
Too early, man. Too soon.
It's just going to be rally. No more caps.
That dude started a supplement company that just
did he
got wrecked.
Oh, really?
TB12.
Tom Brady? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I saw a truck with it in Boston. It looked so bad. I think it already folded.
Oh,
I think Mark did some like video or photo work.
Mark
alongside
Bone?
No, Spooner.
Yeah. Oh.
I think alongside some other video production company that
either
like stills on set one day, like BTS stuff for them.
Nice.
They sold, it was supplements and it was also like their own branded exercise bands and foam rollers and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, that doesn't need to be that expensive.
Oh. Yeah.
We all know how expensive those things
just
should
be. Just because it says TB12 on it.
Right. I'm like,
yikes.
Yeah.
Really inventive name.
It's bad.
Oof.
It's bad. Oof.
Yeah, folded for a reason, I guess. Sorry, Tom Brady fans out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're the Boston guy, so.
I am the Boston guy. That's true. Technically, I am. Yeah.
But you don't like,
you're
the,
Chicago
you don't like
guy.
The Red Sox. You don't like any Boston teams.
I like the Red Sox.
You do?
Yeah.
But you're a Mets fan.
Yeah. I like the Red Sox, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do,
I like
too.
The Cubs, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Because Chicago.
Yeah.
that adds up. Yeah. I think those are the three, really.
Gene's a big baseball guy, right?
I could care less. I mean, rally caps, love baseball.
It's called rally caps.
I love baseball.
That's some cool energy.
It's just like, no, I don't. Yeah. It's just so boring. I don't know. It's boring to me.
Would you go to a Cubs game with us, though?
I would, but like baseball in general, boring. Football, frankly, pretty boring most of the time. Basketball, exciting.
But you can't bring a camera really into United Center.
I've never tried to.
I don't think you can. I think at most sporting events, they say no.
Chatter was able to bring his point and shoot.
Baseball, you can.
They do.
As long
and
as
telephoto.
As long as it's a fixed lens camera. It depends on the stadium.
I've brought a 135 into Wrigley.
Maybe they allow that there.
Yeah.
They. I know I was photographing a job in Toronto last June.
Oh, for the Blue Jays.
For the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Not for the Blue Jays. For a company that I was working with that we were all going to a Blue Jays game. Super fun.
Yeah.
They specifically said, fixed lens cameras, okay. No removable,
interchangeable
lenses. So even if it was like a prime lens that you had on an interchangeable body, couldn't bring it
can't
in.
Bring it in.
So I brought, actually, I snuck it in, I think, technically.
Oh,
was
bad
a
boy.
Fuji X-T4 with a 35.
Oh, 1. When 4. You borrowed.
But it was so small
how
and cute.
Dare
I know.
You?
Sorry, Toronto. Is that an international crime?
They're looking for you still.
They're looking for me still, yeah.
Dude, I love that we've been to all these places and we have met with local friends and know how to say the city's names the way the locals say it.
Toronto.
Louisville.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not Louisville. Louisville.
Chicago.
Louisville.
What?
How'd you know?
How dare you?
Yep.
Chicago.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
No, the Toronto one, actually, ever since we hung out with Mark, I was like, okay, I'm going to intentionally say it like that every single time.
Are there any other cities like that? I don't think there's really
San Francisco. Los Angeles.
I can't think of it.
I don't, it's too far off topic.
I'm sorry.
I don't think so. Boston.
Do people actually say it that way?
They don't say it on purpose.
Yeah.
Some people actually talk like that though.
Yeah, for sure.
And
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
Yeah, when Mark is getting prayed up, dude, that guy.
Yeah. Man.
That is the name of his prayer app, right? Isn't that?
He has a prayer app?
Oh, did you? Oh, no, that's a serious thing. Yeah, I think it's like a,
yes.
I think it's a Catholic meditation, prayer thing. And I think it's called Prayed Up.
Okay.
Yeah. Or
Halo.
Halo is the name of the app, and he says,
Stay
prayed up or something like that.
I remember the commercial.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it
and
is.
And I was like, what is happening?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a real thing.
Still better than TB12. So Just saying.
Now, Ben Affleck in the Dunkin' commercial, though. That's pretty good. That was pretty good. Not really, but it was pretty good.
I felt like that was the most popular thing that came out of the Super Bowl. Was that
the Dunkin' commercial?
That commercial.
Yeah, I mean, it was Tom Brady was in that. Tom Brady. Actually. Yeah. Ben, Matt Damon.
Damon.
Tom Brady, and then J-Lo also.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty stacked commercial.
Yeah.
Did I mention that this is a pretty grab bag episode?
I rally love caps? This yeah. so much right
this
now.
This is good. Yeah. This is the whole point of today is just to like check in, hang out, fill you guys in on what's going on. We've kind of covered the new set, which is excellent. One other thing we wanted to talk about too is just the Chicago premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Our documentary, yeah. Moving Still, that happened yeah.
just a few days
five
ago.
5 days ago.
Yeah.
How was it for you guys?
Insane.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've only premiered it three times. I've been to all three. Yes. You guys went to two.
Yep.
It was just the small one in Boston, mm-hmm. the Friday before Boston Marathon. That was a pretty intimate crowd. It was like 60 people, which was really special in its own right. Mm. Just a very different experience than Franklin and Chicago. But having having a full theater, like an actual proper massive theater that's full, we ended up having about 250 people at the Chicago premiere. Mm-hmm. So that was just an insane experience, but also just because some of, you know, our closest people were there as well, family yep. and friends
yep.
and industry people that had, like we haven't seen for years, which was really special in yeah. its own right. Yep. And people I didn't expect to show up and did. And yeah, that was incredibly special. But also just for me on a personal note, you might've felt the same way. Mm. It's the first time I've like sat down like right next to Joe watching the movie.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where he was getting choked up and we like had a moment where I yeah. grabbed his arm and he grabbed my leg and it's just like, we did this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's crazy. Cause like we had that experience in the first one, he was up with his family. So mm-hmm. that to me, that was really special. Mm-hmm. The Q&A as well.
That's good.
Our buddy Matt, again, he said one of the most special moments in the night was Joe talking about his faith in the Q&A.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that moment where the whole room was silent mm-hmm. and he was like moving through some of his emotions mm-hmm. to like come to the conclusion that yep. he did was very powerful and everyone applauded him mm-hmm. after.
Yeah.
So moments like that were just, I don't know. It was crazy
yep.
to experience that. I felt like I saw the movie in a brand new light. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest screen we saw it on.
Yep.
And it feels like it's the most finished version of it we've seen. Mm. Although there's one little glitchy mm. moment
little
in the
export.
Middle.
It wasn't weird bad, thing. Though, it yeah. wasn't bad. It yeah. wasn't. Yeah.
It wasn't distracting from the actual film.
No. Yeah.
But the process of needing to re-export that film.
Yeah.
Will be the death of me.
It is such a burden.
Because
to export it,
it's
at
a
all.
It's a 2 second issue.
Yeah.
Not even.
It's,
do the whole thing, and then you have to meticulously watch the entire movie to make sure the whole export's okay.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
It's pretty unpleasant. It's pretty unpleasant, yeah.
75 minutes is a long time.
It's a long time, especially when you've already watched that same 75 minutes
a lot of
hundreds
times.
Of times.
But that's what was so special yeah. for me in Chicago. It felt like we were watching it for the first time again, too. Mm. When you see and feel other people watching it for the first time, I feel like it's easier to empathize with that feeling of
yeah.
like, oh wow, it feels like I'm watching it again for the first time.
It's cool to see what moments stand out to other people and what actually connects yeah, with yeah, people yeah. because I yeah. think we all have our moments that we kind of personally resonate with it.
Yeah.
But being able to experience, like you said, through other people's eyes and just see and hear in a theater, in a room of people,
yeah.
kind of what is generally being either laughed at or cried during or little moments like that. Because it was different between Franklin and Chicago as yeah. well. So yeah, in that sense, definitely, it really helps to just kind of feel it on behalf of the audience, which is really special.
And your parents
oh,
were
right.
here my too, parents, which is yeah. like, it's, I feel like with what we do for work, it's really hard to convey to our parents' generation what we do exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your parents too, when you guys first told them like, oh, I'm going to be a photographer or a filmmaker or pursue the creative arts. I mean, your dad understands, but I'm like, they're probably like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So I think for them to see something like that, that's that finished, that big, that large, must've been really cool for them.
It was very special having them there. Yeah. They flew in from New York, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they loved it, which was yeah, deeply, deeply special to see their reaction. Cause they're obviously really excited no matter what, mm-hmm. you know, your parents, they're going to be yeah. stoked yeah. no matter what. But seeing their reactions afterwards where they were both genuinely blown away, they're like, oh my gosh, like
Yeah.
That was a real movie and a good one at that. Like, it's like, yeah, we did it. I was like, this is what we've been putting so much time into and what's dominated conversation and my life for the last 2 years. Like, it was, it was really cool to share that with them, especially in the Chicago one, because any other future screenings that we do, I think will be busier for us, even though these first two screenings have been, or three, I should say, have been already quite busy. There's something about doing them in brand new places where we are traveling more for them. That will be, I think, an extra layer of difficulty added on top. So to share this one where it was probably like the least amount of logistical stress felt really, really good.
How did you feel about it, Gene?
It was great. It was cool to watch it next to Lois because there's like maybe five or six times where she would like grab my arm when she could, like, she's like, whoa, that was incredible. Or like when she saw me on screen, because she didn't know that either or heard my voice. The funniest thing to me though was still our girls being there too, because our sitter fell through and they're just on their iPads during the entire movie, which I found actually hilarious. I mean, they're 5 and 7, like they can't sit through that. Yeah. And the last 20 minutes too, our younger one was like squirming. Like she was so sick of watching Barney too, because we had to download everything ahead of time. So like she's just rewatching.
You didn't want to rely on the theater's Wi-Fi.
Squirmy, wormy, just like, and she, I'm like, just be quiet though. Don't say anything. Like feeding them like fruit snacks and like graham crackers.
I had the kids alone that weekend too, so I was so fearful that my sitter would fall through and that would be the same case. But like
all four of them.
Yeah, one on four is
no. Boom. There's no way. Oh. There's no way. Yeah, it was cool though. Yeah, like I had a lot of church people come through, which is really incredible. Very thankful for them to come through.
They give you and, flowers.
Yeah, like there's a few of our friends in our church we're closest to. So, yeah, and they knew it would make me feel really awkward too, because I knew that. Yeah, I love these ladies, but like they're also like trolls too. Because Lois asked me maybe a couple weeks ago, like, oh, like what? Like, can we bring you flowers? I'm like, no, like please, please. No, I told her explicitly, do not give me flowers.
She's like, I 100%.
And so like, but of course these ladies heard that and they're like, yes, then we'll do the flowers. And so when they walked in. And I was like, oh, thank you so much, but I feel so awkward right now. Perfect.
Look how cute you look right there.
Oh, just
look, he's got his movie poster. He's so got good. His right there. That's cute.
But anyways, it was really Gene cool to have them come through. And it was really cool because one of my closest friends, he was like, oh, I can kind of piece together when you were traveling on the past couple of years, what you were actually doing now. Because he knew I was going to New York or going to Nashville or Florida. So he's like, it was really cool to see like in the movie what you were actually doing on those trips, because I remember you going to all those places. It was special though because it was obviously like in Chicago and really close to the studio. We had an after party here in the building, which was really fun too. But
very cool.
It was really fun. It was I don't know. I don't know if it will be replicable, the experience of Chicago.
Yeah.
Just because we had so many people. It must have been how Joe felt in Nashville.
I feel like it's gonna be how Joe feels in New York.
Probably. Just no family there, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the amount of people. But he has
so many friends in New York.
Yeah.
And so many creative folks.
Connections. Just like,
I mean, it's their life that they shared there.
Bandit being in New York too, in the running scene.
And now we're
talking about potentially Austin too with the running scene there. There's just, I don't know. I think they're going to all have their own special flavors for sure.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me that the New York show Chris will probably be at as again, well. Which shout out to Mr. Chris Chu for freaking surprising us at the Chicago show.
Yeah.
That dude, I can't wait to see the video
because I know.
He trolled all of us so hard and got all of our reactions on camera. We had no idea Chris would be in town. He decided, I think, the day before.
Well, Joe, he's making a YouTube video for Joe, I think.
Bandit and him, some kind of YouTube, something.
Yeah.
But it was so funny walking into the studio, just Chris there just holding his camera like, hi.
I picked up Joe from his hotel and he was like guarding Chris as he's walking to the car. And I'm like, who's behind you? And then Chris is like, and it comes out. And I was like, no, my gosh, what? It was so special.
Especially because he told us how much he was traveling this year. We're like, oh, there's no chance he'd be
able to. He's been doing so much work with Bandit.
Yeah.
Doing all their Dialed episodes. And the crossover of those worlds are just crazy. Mm-hmm. How connected the photo video world is getting with the running world through this and through Bandit and BPN. And
it's and what our buddy Danny just did with, is it Nala?
Yeah.
Track Club?
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah. They asked me to potentially be a part of that. And I was like, it's just,
too much.
I like travel to Kenya is going to be wild.
Yeah.
Considering the doc.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to see that they got Danny for that.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense as well.
It looked really good too.
Now yep. It makes me just want to collaborate with Danny on
yeah, more than we already stuff. Wanted to.
Yeah. Okay.
Legend.
Well, hey, Danny.
Daniel.
You have our number.
Daniel. Mm-hmm. Come hang out.
Get him on for...
You can be back for a third episode. This third is your episode. Formal invitation. So Chicago is so, good. Chicago yeah, is
great.
It was very fun.
A lot of fun, yeah.
Very good time. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
I'm still residually tired from the weekend.
Oh.
I think socially I'm still a little drained.
Yeah, I'm like my tank was emptied and I'm still refilling it right now.
The after party took it out of me.
Well, we went till 1:30.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I was up that late.
Same. Yeah, I got home and I have such a bad problem with when I stay up that late, I don't go to bed right away either.
Yeah.
Because I didn't eat dinner that day and I only had like 3 slices of pizza at the after party. So I went home and I was still hungry.
Yeah.
So I got 4 hours of sleep that night. Yep. I woke up to the kids.
Yep. 4v1.
It was, yeah. My parents were there for a little bit, but then they had to leave and I was like, oh no.
Did they stay at your house that night?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
That's good.
My mom was like, oh, we'll see. Like when you get home, I'm like, it's going to be like 2 in the morning. I'm like, I don't think you want to go home. I got back and my dad was like asleep on the couch and I'm like,
oh man.
Yeah. I mean, you guys should stay. Like I made the bed for them and everything. I'm like, I'll sleep on the couch.
Stay asleep. Stay here.
Please.
Please.
Please do.
Don't drive.
Yeah. They're saints because they watch the kids early in the day.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Jasmine watched them for when they came to the premiere and then they relieved Jasmine and you know,
yep.
Stayed. So it was psycho because then we had baseball practice for 3 hours that day. So you felt maybe fell asleep a bit in the car a little bit with the other 3 while Theo was on the field. So maybe a little bit.
Did Scout help you with your swing at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Good.
Yeah. He teaches me lots of things about sports.
I
he's the reason I've been so successful with getting my marathon time down.
Okay. Here's the thing that knowing Scout, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. he's like an encyclopedia all the numbers. Of information.
Yeah.
Smart kid.
He's getting so smart. So obsessed with sports. Yeah. Yeah. It's real fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel good. I mean, I'm post Boston now, so body's coming back, but my first run back, my hamstrings were like screaming.
Mm.
So I was like, that's not fun.
Not great.
Yeah.
No.
I'll be going to Brooklyn next month running the half.
So oh, nice.
Connecting
nice.
With more New York people.
Sick.
Which will be a lot of
is
fun.
That's the one, okay, that we, at Coney, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we
in
were.
The dock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Coney 2 scene from the documentary, yes, was the same day as the Brooklyn half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, that's right. That's why it was so hard.
Ends at Coney.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. Now I'm getting like, pieces together.
I think the finish line is in some of the shots.
It is.
Yeah, right.
They were tearing down the.
Yeah. Which is, that's cool. Yeah. Fun. 2 years later.
Wow. Marcus from Minted was sick. In my DMs about hanging
sick.
That nice. Weekend. So awesome. That's another insane crossover.
Yeah.
If you don't know Minted New York, they've just been like.
Sick apparel company.
Yeah.
His brother Sean.
Yeah. And they have like an athletics department and it's them and they're running.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So they've been, I mean, they're like buddies with Casey now and Casey's repping all their Minted stuff. So.
Yeah. They have a YouTube channel. They've been posting their training block stuff. They just ran a half marathon in DC.
And the drop days too, I find fascinating.
Yeah.
Just running the logistics.
I like what they're doing.
It's a cool combination of, I feel like, all of our interests all in one thing.
Yeah.
This shout out Minted for this little,
they
do menswear
and very
also
cool.
casual athletic wear, which is, but it's all so tastefully. It's very cool.
Yeah. Their jackets are insane.
Yeah. Extremely good. Yeah. We'll need to get one for the New York show whenever we do the New York premiere. Yeah. Cause it's so
I
good.
I feel like they'll for sure be there. Like they,
I would hope
they know
so.
Joe too. Like they've been on a run together before.
Okay, cool.
So I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Nothing surprises me anymore. That totally adds up.
I mean, Joe knows everybody in New York.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sick. How are you doing, Gene?
I'm good. I think, just a little tired from the premiere still. It just like mentally takes so much out of you. And also like day of working with the coordinator at the theater was kind of like, she was great, but it was a lot of like running back and forth.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm beginning to realize too with all these productions, it's never just like organizing everything on the front end. Day of too, like you have to be in constant communication with them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, frankly, that was a little exhausting too. Yeah. Like running back and forth with her and even like her sitting in the front seat, basically saying like time is up.
Yeah.
And then like ushering people out of the, I felt so bad when people were trying to meet like Brutal, you and Cho and like, I'm like, hey guys, I'm so sorry.
So
like, you have
sorry.
To get out. Yeah. So it's like
get out of here.
That kind of stuff. I always feel like, not so much fun, but, outside of that, I am good.
Mm-hmm.
Still working on work stuff and transitioning my business and my work right now, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
interiors, good commercial work.
Yeah, specifically hospitality work. Not so much like interiors per se. Like I wouldn't call it interiors, but yeah, like anything specifically hospitality and more specifically like hotel stuff right now is like what my eyes are set on.
Mm-hmm. This is mostly to Steven, but to both of you, where do you guys see YouTube in the next 3 months?
Non-existent.
Non-existent completely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I haven't listened to your episode yet.
If I plan on posting...
We actually didn't even talk about YouTube in your episode. It's,
yeah,
it's
video,
that non-existent.
It's not a part of... For me, YouTube is... it's like a hobby. So if I have time for the hobby, I'll do it. But even amongst my hobbies, it's like the lowest priority for me. It's not a column of my business.
How did you feel about doing like your real first proper... It wasn't your real first one, but like outside of Music Bed Contract, doing another ad.
Yeah.
How do you?
I used your sign up code.
What do you?
Skillshare.
What is it? Spam it.
The
is
code?
It still active?
What's your code?
Genune. I think it's just Genune, wasn't it?
How do you spell it?
I think
spell
it was.
G-G-G-G-G-E-N.
G-G-G-E-N.
It's I-H Gene. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's last
I'm
year's. It's Lejean really, James.
Oh my gosh. Dude, okay. You guys don't care, but I played basketball with Chad, Cyrus, and Braxton at the gym I go to this morning. And the entire time, Braxton's just like, Lejean. I'm like, oh gosh, this can't happen again. But YouTube for me, like, it's been so much fun doing it for a few years, but... Like what I find more motivating right now is really setting up my career for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And for me, YouTube is just not a part of it.
Okay.
I still love it as a platform to network and connect, but through and through, like the recognition I've always had to come to is I'm not a filmmaker. Mm. I like filmmaking or videography, but like I'm a photographer. The way I compose is through the lens of a photographer. The way I see the world, the way I like to work is through photography.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like I'm so sick of talking about camera photography stuff on YouTube. Yeah. So when you look at the disconnect there, it feels so silly of me to talk about the stuff on YouTube where I'm not super passionate about talking about on YouTube through a medium of making videos.
Yeah.
So like if I make videos, it'll be for fun, low hanging fruit for me. What sponsored or not, like even sponsored stuff too, it's like, not like life changing stuff if I'm just being completely honest with what I've done so far.
Yeah.
I can make a lot more money doing actual commissioned client-facing work through my commercial work. So that's like where my eyes are fixed on right now. And YouTube, again, like so thankful for all the opportunities and connections over the years. But on my priority list, it's pretty low.
And then on a personal front, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. How close do you feel like you guys are to purchasing your home?
Probably, we've been talking about
this
a lot.
And are you going to do it with credit card points?
I wish, because if I could.
If
I
anyone could do it, it would be
it
you.
It would be you.
Oh, like yes.
5 million points for a down payment.
No, that'd be amazing. I would love to do
it
that.
It would have to be like 2 billion points.
It would have
it?
To be
5
so
million points is like nothing.
No,
like,
it would, like, it would have to be to so like money.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Lejean James has lots of points.
We're not close. I think like Lois and I have gone back and forth. One of the... it's not a concern, but one of the things I'm being realistic about is as I've transitioned out of weddings, my baseline income has kind of shifted back and forth.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in like a negative way, but I can't even project like I was for the past 5 years, how much money I'll make next year.
Right.
So yeah. Even when I think about like, yes, I know we can qualify for X amount and probably purchase a place. My fear though is a year or two removed, especially as interest rates just got higher. I never want to be stressed about the mortgage.
Yeah.
And right now I'm betting more on myself and setting myself up like I did for weddings 10 years ago and like really setting a new path and trajectory and then seeing where things fall in place financially within that and then making a move from there. Mm. But yeah, like we don't want to buy a place that's like equivalent to what we have right now. Mm-hmm. 2 bed, 1 bath in the city.
Bigger.
Like for me, it just doesn't make, like I'd rather stay where we're at and just keep saving that money because
yep.
our rent is very affordable
yeah.
and we love the neighborhood we live in.
Yeah.
So even if we were to purchase for, as an investment, for me, it's actually not really an investment when you look at how much more money we save right now. Mm. So we're still looking at like saving for a bigger place, but hopefully next year is like kind of like what my eyes are.
Oh, that's not long.
I mean, it's, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have loved to buy a place by now, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's something that Lois and I always talk about, but...
I was expecting you with that answer to say like 4 more years.
No, I think next year is like really, I'm really dialing in everything.
But there's also the component of like, once you make the decision to do it, you're going to feel so much more motivation to like find the income to sustain.
Yeah. No, trust me. I don't need more motivation. Like for me, like if I were to show you guys what I'm doing, I mean, I know lately I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to the studio. I'm like, oh, I want to stay home and stay in bed. But like if you actually look at the work I'm doing, and Lois knows this too, I'm like a crazy person, trying to connect through agencies, reach out cold to hotels. Like if you look at my DMs,
dude,
I'm not going to show, it's crazy. Like, dude. And I'm reaching out everywhere. And so like, that's the part where I don't need any more motivation to keep going down this path. I've already kind of told myself, this is where I'm headed. It just takes some time and talking to some friends who are already in that space that I'm kind of moving towards. Everyone said it takes time too. So
Gene's got that dog in him.
I'm just betting on myself right now. Which but is, yeah, it takes time.
Awesome. So it's like, a good
bet. Two things. One, I didn't know that Instagram had a cap on the amount of DMs you could send in one day until you told me that. And that is how many DMs you have been sending to
how
brands.
How many is it?
I think it's 100 a day, but I don't send 100
a day. Like responding to people or just cold DMs?
Like I don't know. Like
new conversations?
I think new conversations.
You did 100?
No, I don't think it was 100. I don't think I did 100 a day.
You've that, gotten capped. Like 98, you said you've gotten capped, like, though.
Yeah.
Are you doing copy-paste?
Most times, yeah. So like the way I'm doing it, and this is a recommendation from a friend, I'm not sending this long DM.
Yeah,
sure. Introducing myself and trying to be
no
all
one
chummy.
Wants to read that.
Very short email address. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, I'll send you my media kit. That's it.
Sick.
So when places are interested, my goal is to get them onto an email and then onto a call.
Dang.
That's really what I'm moving towards.
And how successful? What, out of 100
it's
DMs?
Like you hear like 1% back.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality with this specific genre that I like a lot.
So Instagram DMs is new cold calling.
I think so.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because like your body of work is there.
I've
that's
never
why
even
I've been,
thought about that.
That's why I've been very specific in what I've been posting the past month. And if you look at my Instagram feed as of late, it's very different from what it was before. Yeah. Because that's the first thing when they see a DM, they're hopping onto your profile and they're looking at what's there. They don't care that I shoot film. They don't care about my wedding career so far. They just want to see the work that I'm pitching to them.
Mm-hmm. And to have a portfolio as robust as yours is a huge, powerful move in DMing in that way.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on nothing, yikes.
It's hard. Yeah. And so like I've had a lot of people say, we love your work,
but
you're too expensive for us.
Yeah.
And my whole thing is like, that's totally fine because I will find the people for the price that I still think I'm underselling myself, but because I can justify that pricing.
And so you don't see any value in doing some sort of associate thing?
I don't think so.
Pitch lower paying clients or like, no?
I don't think so. I mean, I get a lot of responses back saying like, oh, for trade, like a free room and food. I'm like,
nah.
If it's a really cool place that'll build my portfolio, then I'll say yes. But thus far, like, no, maybe, but ideally, these are my rates.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you going to absorb your commercial Instagram account then into your main one? Because I know you separated them a while ago.
At this point, I don't intend on doing anything else on the other one.
Yeah.
Chad just convinced me to keep it because he likes the name.
GeneNoon.co?
Yeah. He's like,
pretty great.
Dude, that's so, is he in here? Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
yeah.
I'll keep it there because I have it.
Yeah.
But I've gotten rid of all my peripheral Instagrams. I got a coffee one for fun. Got rid of that.
You had just a basketball one too, right?
No.
You had a coffee one?
It's just for fun. Like, post reels and stuff.
A separate Instagram account for coffee?
Uh-huh, just for fun.
What? Why did I know about this?
Because he's so sneaky.
Because I didn't share
he's
it.
He's so like, sneaky.
But,
Sneaky Gene.
What, that's what did like, you call it?
I think it's just Gene.Yoon.
Espress Gene.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to think of a coffee.
Calf Gene.
Calf Gene. Calf Gene is good.
It's gone though, so it doesn't matter. It's gone.
I know. I'm trying to think of other ones.
Bye bye to it.
Okay.
But that's been my commitment to my fear has always been my main Instagram account has been this like hodgepodge of work, but primarily weddings. And I've already begun the process a while ago of not sharing wedding work on there anymore. Mm-hmm. And now it's like all in, new work, new branding, moving towards where I want to go. So just getting rid of all the peripheral stuff. I think that commercial page I'll eventually get rid of too.
Okay.
Or take all the images off of it
and
just hold the name.
Yeah, okay.
But Because that's my website name for my commercial work. So it's a little confusing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's really the only reason why I held it too, is like for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But all of my work, everything I create will be on one Instagram though.
Nice.
And that handle is going to be Cappuccino.
I it was mine! Yes! Dang it!
Well, that's good. I was that is really good.
I saw when you had it, and I was like, I wonder.
That's good.
I was like, it was my first time, so I was just going to go cappuccino.
I swear I was listening to all of that, but at the same time, I was like, I can't wait to say it.
Whoa, that is, dang it. I should have, that's perfect. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So if I ever open up a shop, it'll be called
Cappuccino. Oh yeah. Cappuccino Yoon.
Oh. Wow.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But that's everything I've been working on for the past couple months now.
Yeah.
Just like keeping my head down. I've got meetings this week. Finally connecting with some agencies. Sick. So yeah, and like the biggest thing with this kind of work is I'm not looking to onboard 20 different clients. I really only want to get on the roster of like two or three agencies. And that's all I really want. Mm-hmm. And it's specifically like
The GoPro's battery is low. It died. I'm so sorry.
What is that?
I think I'm not looking for volume work either. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for specifically high quality, low quantity work.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll be what I can do for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And if anyone wants to hear more specifics about this, last week's episode, I think it was last week's episode, episode number 71, was a deep dive into all this with Gene. So we chatted very intentionally about all these things, and you can hear more about Gene's specific body of work, specific technical breakdowns, all these different things. So just go back one episode in your catalog, 71.
You, YouTube.
Me, hi. I am YouTube. I have...
What?
You, YouTube.
I am
me,
Groot.
YouTube. Me, too.
Me, Tarzan. Jane.
I am Jane.
Groot.
I am Groot, yeah. I feel like I have a very similar answer to Gene. This is actually something that I would love to make an entire long-form Rally Caps episode about. But broadly speaking, a thought experiment that I've been kind of running through a lot, which we've all talked about. I think the first time I really started sharing with other people was when we were in Seattle together on that IHG job. I've been really critically examining my business and also the things that I'm just involved in top level and trying to be a little, not even like harsh, but just like being very objective about where they actually fall within my life, how much time they're taking and what they are returning to me. To the degree of like, what if I wasn't a photographer anymore? What if I wasn't a filmmaker anymore? What if I wasn't this, that, the other? What if Rally Caps wasn't a part of my life? Like, not because I want to remove those things, but because I just want to look at what things could look like without one of these different branches.
This is what you said in an Instagram post recently.
I did. Yeah. That was, exactly. And that I've been kind of developing that into a script of all things, funny enough, for a YouTube video as like a little short film kind of thing. But I think, just being very open to the idea of YouTube no longer being a part of my business. And funny enough, I actually think that's a really freeing way to look at it because I make a little bit of money from it. It's not meaningful, truthfully. Mm-hmm. And I think actually removing the expectation of it being a part of my business, so to speak, and instead framing it as a fun thing to do when I have the time for it, might actually end up making it a more legitimate thing in a funny way. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, not because I'm so confident in myself, but like if I removed that expectation from me and then approached videos in that new mindset, if things started to pick up a little bit more, just by nature of going into it with less concern and a little more just excitement to create. Funny enough, like the last video I made 2 months ago now was with Nice Film Club, which is a film lab that we all use in New York City. And I loved that video. It was so much fun to make. Loved the way it looked. It performed very well. Nice. Loved it. Everyone at their team was a huge fan of it. And of course I posted that and then just like radio silence for 2 months, which was kind of a bummer, but I had hoped to capitalize on it. I had hoped to keep the momentum going and just like keep keep leaning into things, but I needed a little break, and I still need a little break from it, I think, even right now. But I've been kind of journaling some ideas and in the same mindset of treating it less as a part of my business and more as a fun hobby to invest in, kind of just drumming up new ideas that, again, similar to what Gene said, have nothing to do with photography and filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And I think actually just really hone in on communication more than anything else. I have the same feelings as you do about, like, there are times where I just don't feel like a filmmaker. And I feel like that's just, like, not a title that I can own, which I find so hilariously ironic, because this is the year that not one but two feature films that you and I were both a part of are coming out in Rerun, which is a film that Eric and I DP'd for our friend Jay Worsley, and then our own feature documentary. And even in all that, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't really feel like a filmmaker. Yeah, I'm just like, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, no, I actually sincerely feel that way sometimes. And I think that might just be a feeling that is specifically tied to the YouTube relationship of, like, I don't want to show up to make films for YouTube. I kind of want to just, like, communicate with people and build an audience there and interact with like-minded folks. And so some of those topics would include something that we'll talk about next week in my episode about design, but just design related things, even on a physical level, like talking about just stuff that I personally enjoy. Less about cameras, less about film, even though that will still be a part of things going forward, I think. But truth is, I'm still kind of figuring out what that plan will look like. And I don't want to lose it entirely.
Yeah.
But I am, generally still at a crossroads with it of, you know, when I do have the time for it, do I invest it in that? Or do I just keep that time to myself for something else?
Well, do you feel like the ability to step away from it was compounded or justified in landing, and we'll get into it more in your next episode, and landing more design clients? Did it feel like this moment of, oh, I don't have to, like, look at this as a potential revenue stream anymore?
Partially. I think the reason I even launched the design branch of my business was because I was doing this thought experiment.
Right.
It was looking at everything and saying, okay, what things stay, what things go, what titles do I keep, and which ones do I just cast to the side? And I realized in that process that because we kind of reverse engineered it too. It wasn't just, what do I cut out? It's, what am I lacking that I could add in that would actually be really beneficial for me right now? And design was one of those things. It's an untapped skill set that I had that I just wasn't doing anything with outside of personal projects, things for the studio, things for rally caps, all those types of things. But it's something that I could have leveraged and actually really thrived in.
Yeah.
And in the process of kind of removing things from the stove completely, I realized I had enough bandwidth to bring a more income-based and also passion-driven branch back in, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So I would say broadly, YouTube and even Get Bored to Make Stuff to a large degree, both have kind of been put to the warming drawer, to continue the oven analogy, and really focusing primarily as far as my business is concerned, photography and design. Those are the two staples that will keep things going forward. And then Rally Caps is a commitment that I love and will not stop, just because this is so much fun. Like, I just love it so much. It doesn't make us money, but I love it very much. And also, another part of that thought experiment was ratio of time put in, like I mentioned, to return received. And this doesn't take that much time to create.
Yeah.
And I think the connection that we have with people listening is so worthwhile. Whereas YouTube videos take so many hours to make, to script, to shoot, to edit, to publish, everything.
Yeah.
And then you make like $10 in AdSense.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of affiliate sales, you know?
It's just sobering too. Like,
it is,
I think it's the, I never started YouTube to be a YouTuber. And I think that after years of trying to do it, some of it, I think, just really requires self-awareness to of, this is working or this is not working, by whatever metrics you have. But by YouTube's metrics, at least when I was looking from my perspective, it wasn't gaining traction in a way that would provide substantial income or, like, really garner anything for my actual business to then start making more revenue. Like, it just, that wasn't happening. And I think for me, at least, what I kind of found myself in this, like, very vicious cycle, kind of like Instagram, is like just like Instagram, where you start to create images for Instagram.
Yeah.
You start to think of ideas for YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was for me, like after a few years, I'm like, oh, it's kind of backwards though, because it's like, it's killing my creativity.
Yeah.
That's why film photography was such a breath of fresh air for me. And then I just entered another crossword in the past crossroad in the past 6 months with the kind of commercial work that I'm really liking and enjoying doing.
That camera's almost out. Sorry.
It is.
Yeah. It's hard to shoot it on film. It's not consistent enough, especially when you start looking at interiors, food and beverage, lifestyle, all that stuff, which has kind of forced me to start focusing on digital work again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just like, I was so sick of making stuff for the internet and not for myself. And for YouTube, I was making it for YouTube because it wasn't a column of my business. It wasn't something I was always excited about, especially for the past year. Like it was just like this redundant thing. And yes, you can like improvise and change things up, but I didn't care enough to do that on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So it's like not that I'm not killing it off.
It's just being reorganized in your structure.
Yeah, exactly. And like there are things I'm just frankly more excited about right now than YouTube. So
yeah. I totally so badly feel that on the making things for the platform. Yeah.
Yes. It just like felt sick at some point. I was like so sick of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm not even like excited about this. So thankful for the support over the years, but it just wasn't something that it just felt. Yeah. I was like cornering myself constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it was actually in one of the Adam Savage tested YouTube channel videos that I watched recently. It actually might've even been maybe in the Gerald Undone interview, like the studio tour of his space. Someone said something to the effect of it is so contagious to watch someone who loves something talk about that thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's true. Like it doesn't really matter at the end of the day what that thing is. Just watching someone who is passionate talk about anything is so lovely. It's just really cool. Yeah. And I think it was like finally reevaluating what that thing could be for me and making it less about how beautiful the video quality is or how great the editing style or how fast paced or whatever it is. I'm just like, I forget all of that. I want to talk about a cute notebook that I got. It's colorful and I love it and I use it in my design work also, but I just really enjoy the thing. Like even just like little trinkets like that, like well-designed things, like things of that nature that just get me really excited. Maybe there is something to that. Just focusing on the stuff that lights me up inside, even if it might be silly or trivial in the grand scheme of things.
Like trains.
No.
Well, with a 360 camera.
Then I'm all in. Put me in, coach. I am all in.
Absolutely, we can.
Yeah, I think like you with your running stuff, you can see the success there because of your excitement. Mm-hmm. You're like even if YouTube disappeared today, you would still do it. And I think like that's not how I feel about photography YouTube. Mm-hmm. So like I think if there's ever a day where you and I maybe find something like design or something else where like we're so excited about it, we just want to share about it. I think like I'll consider then at that point being more present on YouTube or like social in general. But until that time comes, like I'm just in a season of my life, both in business and personally, where I just want to focus on myself. I want to get better as a photographer. I want to get better at lighting, at composing, client relationship. Like those are things that I need to like get, those muscles need to be like worked out again.
Yeah.
And I just want as like little distractions as possible right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for asking about YouTube. Yeah. That is a big one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the swirling mass of thoughts in our heads.
It's good to sit down and have long form conversation about it because we don't have enough time to do that normally.
No.
Yeah, everyone's so busy too. That's the actual reality. It's like when we're not like sitting like this, everyone is so busy doing their thing.
Yeah, I feel the same way about my main channel right now.
That's
why I've
been how you feel about that is how I feel about YouTube.
Yeah. The only thing I can feel right now is like a thing that I might be passionate about is bringing more film photography back because I want to have a resurgence in that. I feel like being on the precipice of summer right now is going to do so much for me creatively because the biggest block I have in the winter is not being able to really go outside comfortably and make stuff.
In Chicago.
But I have all sorts of ideas of things I want to make in this city almost as a love letter to this city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be incredibly special because I don't think a lot of that exists about Chicago.
Unlike New York, for example.
Yeah. Everyone does it about New York, but no one does it about this city.
Yeah.
And there's just so much nostalgia wrapped up in the city between the baseball team and, everything. You know, like downtown and the race and, and Montrose Harbor and just all these places that could be just incredibly special and get me fired up about actually making something that people could feel.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, I have whole ideas about like doing, I have an idea of doing a whole series called Scenes, and it's different Chicago neighborhoods.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And yeah, like I go to Chinatown for a whole evening into Blue Hour and night and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that excites me.
That's cool.
But that's hard to schedule because I have four children. So
that's what's hard is like, I used to think for a few years that the more public facing I was, the more satisfied I'd be with my work. And I'm realizing that like over the past few years, I actually find more satisfaction in like I hopped on a call with like a student in California. He's graduating this year, who's like interested about freelance a few months ago. And he's like, thank you so much for like carving out an hour. I was like, no, of course. Like I wish I had this when I was 22 years old. Yeah. And I find like even I get the privilege of leading our creative team at our church. And so being able to like ideate with my team and provide tools and assets and my experience to them too, like means far more to me than like 100,000 views on YouTube. Cause it just, I don't make money from it either. And so I think I've just been like in general reevaluating what does it mean to be a creative and an artist, especially someone my age, someone who's not like, I'm not 22 year old anymore, who has like all this freedom to like go hard. I have a family to take care of, a family to like be present for. And so I think it's like, it's a lot of like, it's the intersection of where not only my work is at, but where my personal life is at too, as a father and husband, and like nearing my mid 30s now, I'm always asking myself, like, what will my career look like in the next 10, 15 years? Yeah. I cared less about that 10 years ago. I was like, I'm just going to grind it out, make as much money as possible. But it's not like I'm thinking more longevity because I want to do this for as long as possible. But yeah, I don't know. We make stuff for the internet, which is really weird, like this podcast. But I think it's just as important, if not more important, to make stuff for ourselves that never sees the internet too.
Yeah. I don't do that.
That is a lost art.
It's my problem.
That's how I feel more as of late. That's why like I've been really into reading again. It's been a lot of fun to read again.
Where are you at in Assassin's Blade?
I'm nearly done with it.
Yes.
But I'm trying to slow down because I'm like, pump the brakes a little bit.
I don't want it to be over.
Yeah, I don't. Like I want to enjoy this series because it's incredible.
I read the back of the Cheerios box this morning.
This guy.
of what?
I didn't.
Did you solve the maze?
I didn't read anything.
Did you solve the maze though?
No.
There's no maze?
No maze.
Oh.
There's a honeycomb. Wait,
what?
It was a maze.
Yikes.
Camera's still going. It's blinking really fast now.
Okay.
Say goodbye. Hurry. Hey.
Thank you all for listening. Like, subscribe, listen, please review and rate the show anywhere you listen to it. We love you all. Thanks for listening to this really slow-paced, chill episode with a fast ending. We love you guys.
Love you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.